Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Baby Francesca was just 12 weeks old when she came down with a cough. 9 days later, she died of pertussis, of whooping cough. Her mother, Veronica McNally, has made it her life's work to hammer home the importance of vaccination. And she's part of a new campaign that's being launched today called I Vaccinate. Veronica McNally is with us now, along with Michigan's chief medical executive, Dr. Eden Wells. And a pleasure to welcome both of you to Stateside.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Dr. Wells, when you rank all 50 states based on immunization coverage of preschoolers, here we have Michigan down in the basement at 43rd, with only 54% of preschoolers up to date on their vaccinations, and only 29% of Michigan teens are immunized. How did we get here?
You know, I think that that's an excellent question, and there's not an easy answer. I think there's a number of people who would like to say it's simply due to the role of people who are anti-vaccine, but I think it's more than that. We had a number of experts and stakeholders meet last year, actually, to sit down and really go through what may be the barriers, access to health care, difficulty. You know, children might get started on their vaccines, but they don't finish up their vaccine series. So it's probably a bit more complicated than just simply saying it's an anti-vaccine movement. And so there's been a lot of work now, such as what you're seeing being launched today, on trying to get a different way to improve the vaccination rates in the state, because they are very low here. We're 43rd in the United States.
Yes, indeed. And I know, Veronica, after you lost Francesca, you formed a foundation called Franny Strong, and you've been working to educate people about the dangers of not only of pertussis, but of not being vaccinated. So what do you hear when you talk to parents? I mean, what are some of the reasons that you hear from them that they don't get their children up to date on their vaccinations?
Well, they have concerns, and every good parent wants to protect their child, of course. And so those concerns are, unfortunately, the result of what we're seeing right now. About half of parents with toddlers are choosing to delay the vaccines or skip them altogether. And so we determined that we really need to address this issue. We need to address the conversation surrounding vaccines and get answers for the parents to their questions. And iVaccinate.org is where they're going to be able to find this information.
Yes, so let's talk about this being launched today, iVaccinate.org. What's it going to look like, and how will people know about it?
It is great. We have a multimedia campaign that you will see across the state. We'll have a great social media presence. This website is designed to answer people's questions, but really to hit home on two messages. And that is that consensus exists, that vaccines are safe and effective, and that it is the best thing a parent can do to protect their children from these vaccine-preventable diseases, which, frankly, can be fatal. And also that when a parent is making a decision about whether or not to vaccinate a child, it doesn't just affect that child. It affects entire communities. And it's really important that parents understand the significance of what we call herd immunity.
Dr. Wells, as a physician, it must be so frustrating to encounter parents who put more credence into something they turned up on an internet search than what you can tell them as a physician about vaccination and why it's important.
You know, it has been, and certainly I've worked with promoting vaccination for, you know, over two decades now. And I think what we've learned is that often it's not necessarily the message, but even where the message is coming from. And as you say, the internet is probably inadequate, but so may be the fact that, you know, sometimes there are those out there that don't want to believe perhaps the government agency that always says, you know, yes, vaccination is good for you, just like covering your nose when you sneeze. And yet what is so powerful. This is a public-private relationship that built this iVaccinate.org program. People like Veronica, you can tell she's so personally, you know, motivated and has been really the heroine of this whole project. It's really about parents talking to other parents. And I think that carries much more, it's a message much more powerful than anything that can come from myself. As much as I'd love to think people listen to me, I would rather think that I think sometimes talking to our peers that have been there and understand, you know, personally the concerns that moms and dads have are really key. So that's what's really exciting about this program today.
And Veronica, I know it's you've worked so hard to turn that loss of your baby into really this important teachable moment for other parents. Tell us a little bit, your daughter's symptoms at first, what were they like?
She began with an almost unnoticeable cough. I honestly don't know. If I hadn't been paying attention to it, I don't know that I would have realized that she was coughing. And the progression of the illness was rapid over the next few days. So the timeline was that when she began coughing, I called our pediatrician to see if she could be seen. And she was seen the next day, where the pediatrician indicated that she definitely caught something but wanted to wait to see if she got worse. So we didn't treat her at that time because we didn't know what she was presenting with. Mm. And that weekend, we took her to an emergency room where the physician thought that she was okay and sent us home. The next day was Mother's Day, and I spent all day trying to get her comfortable and realized that something was really, truly wrong. So we had a very rocky night. Immediately the next morning, I took her back to the pediatrician where they suspected that she did have pertussis. And we waited for a blood result confirmation that indicated that she had elevated white blood cell count. And so we took her into a pediatric intensive, well, to the emergency room, and they admitted us into the intensive care unit. She was intubated the following day, and on the 17th, she passed away. So it was just about a week after she began showing those symptoms.
That's stunning. And when you tell that story, it makes me stop and think, even as a parent who's been through this with my kids, with, you know, get the vaccinations, and you hear these names of diseases. But I wonder if we've all gotten blasé and overconfident, Dr. Wells, about the danger of these diseases. I mean, when Veronica tells us this story, we've got more people having their kids vaccinated on schedule. Those diseases kind of faded into the public awareness, didn't they?
They did. They did. I think one of the concerns, as we were talking about pertussis or whooping cough, you know, what's really concerning is we're actually, just in this last year, in 2016, we had over 400 cases of pertussis diagnosed in the state. And so we're continuing to have a higher than expected activity of this particular disease, which normally, if the vaccinations are all being done and conducted if we're scheduled, should not be occurring. And I think it does. We do get blasé, but it takes just one unfortunate, horrific event, and it makes people perhaps think a little bit more, but we don't want to see any more of these events.
In fact, I know Veronica used that term herd immunity, and I guess this is a real good time to kind of refresh everybody's memory and, you know, school us on what that means, and have we lost it in Michigan with such a poor immunization rate?
Well, this is Eden, and I think that is a big concern for us, that we have found not only are there those parents who feel that vaccination should not be done with their children, but there are some that do start the vaccinations but then do not end up completing the series. So we actually have an incredible number of not only unvaccinated children, but children who are under-vaccinated. And when that happens is vaccine-preventable diseases just have a better chance of coming back, such as pertussis that I mentioned earlier. And when a sufficient number of persons are immunized due to a particular a disease, you know, that is called herd immunity. Sometimes we call it community immunity. And what's really important about that is that not everyone can be vaccinated. There are medical reasons, very rare, but they are there, for some children that cannot be vaccinated. Maybe they have an underlying cancer or leukemia or other reasons they can't receive these vaccinations. The only way that they will be protected is if the community around them are vaccinated and thus protecting or buffering that child. And so that herd immunity is very, very important, certainly for things like pertussis or whooping cough, but for other things, especially measles or mumps.
Veronica, I stop and I when I think of the fact that Francesca was just 12 weeks old, so she, you know, when you think that diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis series is 5 doses, starting at 2 months old, so pertussis claimed her before she could even complete her series.
That's right. And unfortunately, I think that we don't understand that as parents. We take that for granted, and it's really important that parents understand the significance of these diseases, the fact that they are still occurring. It's not just pertussis. We have obviously the dramatic increase in cases in Michigan and pertussis, but last year we had a really large number of chickenpox cases, and primarily in schools and child care settings. Mumps cases right now are at the highest number in a decade, and Arkansas is investigating a huge outbreak outbreak. So these diseases are real, and I think that parents, because we don't see them every day, I think that we take that for granted, and we really want to change that. iVaccinate will change this.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Wells, what will people find if they go to iVaccinate.org?
What I consider that it's a wonderful website full of the many tools that a parent or an organization can use to help promote this program or to help educate people who may be concerned about vaccination and want to learn more before they vaccinate their children. And especially, as I said, the power comes from parents being empowered to take this information and share this information with their friends and their peers.
Veronica, how will you measure success of iVaccinate.org?
We have a really easy way to measure success in Michigan because we have the Michigan Care Improvement Registry, and that tracks our immunization rates. And we will see a rise in immunization rates, we think. And we know this because in the late 90s, we had terrible vaccination rates. And over a six-year period of time, through a public education campaign called Immunize Your Little Michigander, we rose to sixth in the country in immunization rates. So these methods of public education opportunities and campaigns, they really do work. And we want this message to be empowering for parents. We want parents to feel free to ask questions and feel free to get the answers to those questions, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to make the difference.
Veronica McNally of the Franny Strong Foundation and Dr. Eden Wells, who is the Chief Medical Executive of Michigan. And once again, the website for iVaccinate, it's easy to remember, iVaccinate.org. Thank you so much to both of you for being with us on Stateside.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.